are. Here we are. Thank you. You know, as Julie and I were making our final, the last stretch, we came up and it took us down 12. And as we're coming up Orofino, because we went and visited it there when we came and visited back in October, we had this sense of, oh, we're here. We're home. And so as we've gotten settled into our home, know that your PNC, the search committee that helped figure out this next step in ministry together, they have been taking care of us. They've been providing meals for us when we first landed. Chuck gave us his heater when we didn't have any. So thank you for your warm, warm welcome. And you know, as we've gotten to know the area, we've walked the river, eaten some bite-sized steak, made our first trip to Costco. It was real nice. And as we've been approaching this time, I have been thinking about and praying for you all and for our next season in ministry together. So for that first step, I invite you to listen to God's word to you this morning from Matthew 25. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of money of silver began to invest the money and invested and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And after a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will celebrate and give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together." And the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." Again, the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, you have brought us before the witness of Scripture to bear witness to your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts to hear a word from you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we hear one of these short stories, which, using those old-fashioned biblical words, a parable. Oftentimes it's called the parable of the talents, but our translation rightly uses this, instead uses bags of money. So maybe we should call it the parable of entrustment, the parable of trust. And when you hear this word parable, think of it as these thought-provoking short stories with real-life examples that say something vivid, say something provocative, but are not entirely obvious either when you start to press into it. For example, when you first read this, like I did, it can be a little disappointing in how Jesus uses this economic language. Is the kingdom of heaven really like the rich getting richer and the poor being made more so? Because that's not entirely good news, and I don't even know if that's news. And in this very gospel, Jesus has some pretty choice words about serving God and wealth, or rather, how you can't. So when we hear this parable today, it's about the money, but also, it's not quite about the money, which is very helpful, I know. So what I mean is that parables don't speak to just one point, one analogy, one allegory, because all analogies will break down when you push them hard enough. So maybe this isn't just about one allegory, about one very specific point being made. And parables are slippery things. Jesus tells these stories that are familiar yet strange, straightforward and not at all, about God, about our life before God. And it's one way that I heard described to me is that it's kind of like these stained glass windows. Is when you're outside of them, you don't quite see it. But when you're inside and you're illuminated by something outside of us, namely God, you see more color, you see more definition, you see the art. And so this short story is the third in a series of parables. Pastor Nick would have read you it last week as well. About when, after Jesus tells his disciples, there will be this time when he leaves them, and he will return like a thief in the night, but no one can predict that day or hour. So he tells them these short stories that do a lot more asking than telling. How will they live after Jesus is no longer with the disciples? How will they live when God is not physically walking alongside them and teaching them? And you step back and read that today in our time, and it's asking us similar questions. What is most important? How do we live when God is not obviously present to us? What kind of people are we going to be, and how are we going to live together before this God? So perhaps instead of a story about achievement, maybe it's a story about asking about how you have trusted. At my prior church, I sat in on this book study one Sunday morning, and it was one of those groups where when you sit down in it, you know something good is you're gonna walk away with something good. And I don't exactly remember how, but somehow they got into this conversation about families and taking risks and speaking the truth in love, especially in those intimate, well-known places that each of us have. So, you know, very simple and easy. As you get to know me, that's a joke. When do we try to say or do something knowing it might be taken the wrong way? When have we taken chances knowing it might offend or blow up in our faces? And on one side of the table of this conversation, you have Frank, who very delightfully says, there's a joke in my family. Grandpa is really good at apologies because he has so many opportunities to give them. And Deandra, on the other side, perks up and says, oh, that's why I play it safe. I worry I'm going to do something that will offend someone. And it's like this line at the end of Book of Deuteronomy, I have set before you the ways of life and death. Choose appropriately. Because there's a way that's vibrant and flourishing and connected, and something that's less so. And that was uncomfortably revelatory to me, because there's something obviously good in receiving wisdom, but there's something good in hearing someone else's truth as well. Because I see Deandra's anxiousness in me more often than I'd like to admit out loud. And maybe you do too. And when I say anxiousness, I don't mean a mental health struggle or a mental disorder of any sort. But maybe that could be for you. It's more of that sense of worry, a sense of being on edge, worried that you're not able to trust those around you. Or maybe it's for you, it might be apathy or being burned one too many times or any number of things that might get in the way of trusting another. Yet I've found that I want to be more like Frank, more courageous, more open, more playful and connected to those around me that God has given me to be in relationship with, and doing well by those God has entrusted me with. And I wonder if that's the question of this parable. What have you been entrusted with? What do you have that you can serve God with? And I wonder if this story about the rich getting richer is trying to make a point that no matter how much you have, God is generous to us. And maybe there's a reason for that. Christians from generation to generation have beautifully answered that question at the top of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians confess that our life is not our own. Our life and everything good in it has its source in God, our Maker, and our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. So when we each reflect on our own lives, do we think we've deserved what we have? Did we make our own lives? Or perhaps the question might be, do you understand how precious what has been given to you? The servants who were called good and faithful servants who took what they had and doubled it, they didn't double it for themselves. They didn't make themselves rich. They doubled it for their master. They doubled it for a cause that was not their own. So what cause are you being called to? What are we doing with what we have? Because you and I have a calling, even if it's just one thing, one story, one item. And you might think, aren't we getting a little tedious obsessing over the one person who doesn't have that much? Why care about the one when we can focus on the bigger, the successful, the more? And yet, if you think about it, if you have a group decision, one person can tip the vote in either way. Or think about having one babysitter instead of none when you're trying to get out the door for date night. But most importantly, we take seriously those who feel like they don't have as much. We feel like those who have less. We take them seriously because Jesus does. Maybe those who feel like they don't have much, they aren't accomplishing on a large scale, yet in this very gospel, when Jesus comes out from his temptations in this gospel, the first thing he says is he gets up on that mount and he says, "Blessed are you who are on the bottom. Blessed are you who are suffering, who are poor, who are workers of peace in a world of force. You who are thirsty and hungry, you are beloved in the eyes of God and you have a special place in the kingdom." Whether much, whether little, whatever we have is a gift from God that has been given to us in our keeping. So let me tell you about Charlie. In seminary, I did my internship in downtown Philadelphia, and it was mostly learning and observing. And I got connected with this church that was in Center City that was functionally a worshiping community on top of a very large and successful social service nonprofit that fed a lot of those hidden communities. Those who are hungry, those who are homeless, those who are in need of community. And early on I met Charlie, who his thing that he had was his story. See, Charlie had done a lot of hard living before he showed up at the church doorstep for his first meal. And from there, he got access to a mailbox, which you need to be a functional member of a community. And from that, he was able to leapfrog his way to getting the help he needed, to meeting and attending to those people around him that were also in the same situation. He got sober. He graduated from a nursing school to hold down a job, something that he hadn't done in decades. And Charlie himself became one of the ambassadors of the church, where people would come in and work alongside and offer meals or do local work in the community. And Charlie would always tell his story again and again and again, because the love that he had received had transformed him into someone new that God was using. And so I too, just in my short year of knowing him, carry around Charlie's story with me, because he gives an example of how God works, of how God can move in our lives, how the church can be with and for those who need God, because we all do. You have been given a story, a love of cooking, a fishing rod. Don't downplay what you've been given, because that very same love that God has given you might be called upon to share with those who also need it. Maybe you're hung up on that your gifts from God aren't unique or won't make a lot of money, or maybe they'll make others a little uncomfortable. And I get it. There are bills to pay, people to take care of, the needs that each of us has. And Jesus gets this too. He taught us that we have normal needs and questions, things like, what will we eat and what will we wear? So to put it the old-fashioned way, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I'm up here today for the first time as your pastor who has been called here by you, acting as the voice of God in my life. I know what a gift, what a privilege it is to be with you in this office. I am a recipient of those who came before me, those who have invested in me on my side, and I follow the good and faithful ministry of those who have come before me, like Pastor Steve, who faithfully led and preached and prayed and read scripture with you, and so much more. I bring different gifts, not better, not worse, just different, that I am excited to share and learn about your gifts too. So in my ministry, this opening season is a gift. This is a season for us to learn about one another, getting to know you, you getting to know me, getting to know one another more deeply if you feel so called. And in this season, one of my callings is to learn how this church works, to hear about what God has given you. So in this season, I'd like to get to know you. My office hours will probably be Monday and Wednesday, but keep a little asterisk by that as we're figuring things out. Come by and see me, or let me come and see you. Let's get coffee. Let's get lunch. Let's go for a walk. I want to hear about the ways that God has moved in your life. I want to hear about this story and the history of this church and its faithfulness. I want to hear about how the different committees and leaders help make this whole thing go. And I want to hear from you, because I am not an autocrat. I am not going to make decisions without anyone's input. I am going to listen to you. And there will be plenty of decisions. We all know what those decisions are. And we're going to hold off on those until the new year. As we are getting ready to hang the greens, as we're getting ready for Advent, as we're leading up to that celebration of Christ, God becoming man in Christmas, there will be time to work on all those, and we will do that together. This first season together is a gift, and I hope you see it as that too. And now this short story of Jesus that might just be the good news of the story, right at the very start. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Our God is a giver. Our God gives us our very breath, gives us what we need for the journey, gives us this church community, near or far, the story that we're living. This God is so generous that God became one of us, went to the cross for us and our salvation, And Christ gave to his disciples, to us, until the very end, and even after on that glorious third day when death was defeated. God calls us good and faithful servants because Jesus Christ was good and faithful to us first. My invitation for you this morning is to take inventory. What have you been given? How can you love others as you have been loved by God? What is God calling us to do with what we've been given, and who are we going to be? And I'm so excited to figure that out together with you in our ministry together. And with little or with much, may you be good and faithful with what God has given you. As Christ was good and faithful to us, may you enter into God's joy as you serve God. And may you receive God's love, and may you pass it along. Would you pray with me? God, you are good and generous to us. We are grateful for what we've been given and confess that while we haven't always lived in your calling, it is never too late. Help us to pass on what we've been given. Help us to steward this time together in this season that we enter into as your church. God, you have loved us and always do. Help us to see it, especially those who need it in this season. God, you are so good, and we give thanks for all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.